You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Welcome to another UFC Buzz podcast with me, Gareth A. Davis. I'm joined this week by Michael Owens, the editor of Fighters Only magazine, to discuss UFC Fight Night 127, otherwise known as UFC Fight Night Verdum versus Volkov. Yes, it's the annual visit of the UFC to the O2 Arena in London this weekend. I'm here recording, of course, the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. Michael, a very warm welcome to you again.
Thanks for having me on again, Gareth.
It's a busy time. I tell you what, in a couple of weeks' time, I wouldn't have minded discussing this with you. UFC Fight Night 129, just to digress, is Santiago, Chile. Don't we wish we were both going there for the event?
That would be wonderful, but we'll take what we can get and we'll go to lovely Greenwich and take in the sights and sounds of the O2 Arena instead, I suppose.
Look, let's have a look at the main card. There's a ton of ex-Bama and Cage Warriors champions on this card. On the prelims, which are UFC Fight Pass card, obviously shown on BT Sport in the UK, you know, the likes of Paul Craig, Mark Godbeer, Nad Narimani, of course, a former Cage Warrior champion, Danny Roberts on there, Jack Marshman and Brad Scott, some great fights on the prelims. Cajun Johnson against Stevie Ray, which is a great matchup as well. Probably one of the best matchups, probably one of the sleepers on the card. But, of course, the UFC making their return to London, and we're going to start today, Michael, with the welterweight battle between the very, very exciting Leon Edwards and the veteran now, if you like, in his second coming in the UFC, Peter Sobotta. A good fight this for Leon Edwards, in my view.
I agree. I think you're right. I mean, he should have been probably taking a little bit more of a step up in competition, maybe getting a ranked opponent based on the fact that he's got a four-fight win streak in the welterweight division, which, of all the UFC weight classes, along with maybe lightweight, that's probably the toughest one to get that kind of a streak together. Although Sobotta, obviously, he's a lot better than he was in his first UFC run, where he started. He was sort of like almost a token German to feature on when they went, I think it was UFC 99 in Cologne. But obviously, he's turned out a lot better this time. But I do believe that Edwards should have too much for him. He should have enough in striking for one, although he doesn't seem to be showing the same amount of like kind of crisp power punching that he did in Bamber when he first started it, getting a couple of wins in the UFC. He's actually seemed to have improved massively as a wrestler and has pretty much relied largely on that for this win streak. A few decision wins and then that submission over Tumanov in Manchester, I think it is. So I think if he wants to, he can very comfortably ride out a decision. But I'm really hoping that he can really start to kind of let those hands go like he used to a couple of years ago and put on a bit of a show this time.
Well, listen, he's a brilliant fighter. Training, of course, Ultimate Training Center, American Kickboxing Academy, a very skilled fighter, 4-0 win streak at the moment. The odds, of course, with William Hill, very much favouring Leon Edwards. He's 1-2 with William Hill, as you might expect, with Peter Sobotta, 8-5. I'm going for Leon Edwards to win a very hard fought three rounds or even a third round stoppage in this fight, but I do see this fight going the way of Leon Edwards on Saturday night.
Yeah, completely agree, and I would certainly take that line on the decision if we can get that as well.
I know one of your favourites up next on the card, of course, is Tom Duquesne, a guy you really highly rate. He's come up through the leagues, the lower leagues, if you like, a very, very skilled bantamweight fighting Terrion Ware. Now, obviously, Cody Stammen put paid to his unbeaten, or certainly, it was a 12-fight winning streak, I think it was, when he came in against Cody Stammen in Las Vegas, Nevada in October last year. You'd particularly pinpointed him to me to have a very, very good look at him. But of course, he lost a split decision to Cody Stammen, his second fight in the UFC. But He's very, very promising, isn't he? The Fire Kid, you know, fights out of France. He's fought at featherweight as well for 3 years. Very, very promising. Fights under Greg Jackson at Jackson Wink MMA. He's got all kinds of skills. Began training in Sambo at a young age. He's a very, very promising prospect. And I'm fascinated to see how you think he'll go against Therrien Ware.
Well, the Frenchman, of course, he's I think him and Stamen were at a very kind of similar point in their career, but I think Stamen was just a little bit more seasoned with his grappling. Because the one thing about Dupinois, before we got into the UFC, I thought, I think with a lot of other people, his offensive prowess is, you know, kind of top 10 level already. Like, he could, you could put his striking skills up there with pretty much anybody in the bantamweight division.
Mm.
Problem being, is that he always looked like he might be pretty defensively liable. And that proved to be true even in his first fight, I think it was against Pat Williams in at bantamweight, where he did get clipped a little bit. But on the feet, he sort of has enough to, you know, kind of get himself through. The problem became with his defensive wrestling against Stamen, who is a, you know, a stocky guy with a powerful double leg and can quite happily take advantage of Dupinois' deficiencies. And I think anybody with that kind of level of skill set could probably do. I don't think Therrien Ware is that kind of guy. I think he was a guy that was given to Sean O'Malley as well, and I think, not that you ever really get too many proper showcase fights in the UFC, because especially at that level, they don't want to, you know, kind of give anyone gimmies or anything like that. But I think he's being used in a similar kind of way here for Dupinois, especially because he's on the main card. And I think the goal from Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard is to sort of try and give him the opportunity to build him back up, because, as you said, he is a real talent. He's a young guy. He's exciting. And I think he can get people off their seats, and he can stick around for, you know, years and years to come.
Well, he's still only 24 years old, of course. The odds with William Hill on that one, the bantamweight fight, Tom Dupinois, if you want to go with the pure, beautiful French pronunciation that you have brought forward. He's 1-3 with William Hill, and Therrien Ware 23-10. I'm going for Dupinois to get a second round stoppage in this fight. I think he'll be wanting to showcase his wares. And I think London is the perfect platform. I think he'll have a lot of support here as well, and I think he'll be a popular victor in the second round. I don't know how you're seeing it.
It's like you're reading my mind at the moment. I was actually thinking about a second round myself, just like his UFC debut as well. Because, I mean, where's no mug? I think he can definitely hang around and give him a little bit of trouble early on. But like you said, and I think you agree, I think Dugan was attacking power and skills and the variety in which he can throw strikes. It's just going to be too much for him, and he'll catch him at some point in the second.
We move on to the light heavyweights. The Jimmy Manua against Jan Blachowicz, their second meeting, of course. The first one, which Jimmy Manua took the victory, of course. Back now in April 2015, out in Krakow in Poland. Jan Blachowicz really never got going in that fight. I wondered, you know, the manner in which he fought that fight. I wondered whether he was carrying an injury, Michael, and he looked very tentative against Jimmy that night, and Jimmy just kind of dominated in many ways. Unanimous decision victory, of course, it was Gonzaga Krokop 2. But I think since then, I mean, obviously, they both inhabit this level, just below Daniel Cormier and John Jones, if you like. That level that Ozdemir, Ovin St. Preux, Anthony Johnson's gone now, of course, but they're kind of in that mix. And I think it's an important fight, this one, in many ways. And I think since that defeat, Blachowicz has really put his game together, you know, and you know, he lost to Corey Anderson, he lost to Gustafsson, he lost to Patrick Cummings, but he's looked quite good in his last two outings. And I think we do see people, he was very successful in KSW, and we do see people come in from other organisations and have a tough time. He went 1-4, but he seems to have got his game back together again. And I wonder whether he'll give a more difficult fight for Jimmy Manua this time. He's obviously got to make his skill set felt early. Once you let Jimmy get into a rhythm and let his big kicks and his heavy hands go, you're in trouble. I mean, I'm still going to go with Manua in this fight. The odd 7-4 with William Hill for Błachowicz, 4-9 to Jimmy Manua. But I just think Błachowicz might give him a tougher test this time.
I think you could be right. I mean, one of the things that I think has sort of gone under the radar for this one, because their first fight was pretty underwhelming, but I actually remember, and I mean, credit to Manua, because I don't think he's actually really brought this up. I haven't heard him say it at all. Apart from when I actually asked him, when I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, is I believe he was carrying a pretty serious knee injury in that fight as well. So that's possibly why, that's the only win he has, that he hasn't actually knocked his opponent out. Although, also at the same time, Błachowicz, I mean, I think you'd have to hit him with a train to actually stop him. And you're right, he sort of seems to have become comfortable in the UFC in recent fights, pulled off an underdog victory in his last fight. He seems to be like kind of just getting a little bit happier in every facet of the game, sort of thing. Like when even against Gustafsson, when he was starting to show up a little bit of an improved strike, and it was his wrestling deficiencies that put pay to that. But you know, against the slight level below, he's now proved that he sort of belongs in that area of the light heavyweight division, as you mentioned. I think people are also underestimating Manua just because he got knocked out quickly in his last fight. But if you think about the previous two fights against OSP and Corey Anderson, he never looked better. Like with two performance of the night, even winning knockout bonuses. So I think even though he's getting on a little bit, I think Jimmy Manua is, I mean, he's really enjoying some good form. He's in about as good condition as he's ever sort of been. He's, again, comfortable with the role he's playing in the octagon. He was trying to get even bigger fights at the moment. I think, you know, he needs to really make a statement in this fight. I'm not sure whether he's going to be able to, purely because Błachowicz is so tough and because of the improvements that he's made, but I do like Manua to win this fight overall.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubting the fact that a victory for Jimmy does kind of, I mean, look, Daniel Cormier is out of the picture for a while. Of course, we know that he's facing Stipe Miocic in July in the super fight. But there's still kind of rankings business going on here. You know, Błachowicz and Jimmy Manua, as I said at the beginning of this discussion about this fight in particular, they still inhabit this kind of area in that division that two or three victories or even a couple of victories can put them in the picture again in terms of fighting for the title. I mean, you know, they are both very skilled opponents. You know, and I think an end of the year, you know, if they can get another victory in the can by the end of the year, they can put themselves in the frame for a title shot. I mean, I think there's an awful lot to play for in this contest, you know, and, you know, at the end of the day, we are looking, you know, at two guys who are ranked, you know, 4 and 11 in the division. I mean, Błachowicz makes a massive leap if he can get a victory up the rankings.
Yeah, he certainly does. And like I said, that's one of the important things, I think, for Manuel in this one. For him to make a similar kind of impact, he needs to have an emphatic performance, purely because he's beaten a guy that's ranked that much lower than him. I'd like to see him kind of, I mean, he's particularly effective when he is going forward. He can really stalk guys really well. At the same time, he's a really effective counter-striker as well. So I'd love to be able to see him, you know, without trying to be too biased or anything, because I think at his best, he outmatches Błachowicz. So I'd like to see him put all of that together and really have, like, kind of a statement performance on Saturday night. And, you know, kind of make a further case to maybe have one fight against maybe a Teixeira or something like that, a guy who turned him down for this fight, and make his way towards that title shot, because as you say, we're not exactly blessed with challenges at 205.
Yeah, well, as you rightly point out, that, you know, the odds are fairly close for this, and William Hill reflect that in 7-4 for Jan Błachowicz and 4-9 for Jimmy Manua, obviously the favourites going into this contest. We go to the main event. It's the heavyweights. Alexander Volkov, the former Bellator heavyweight champion, against Fabricio Werdum, the former UFC heavyweight champion. Werdum, of course, number 3 in the rankings. Volkov, number 8. Most people, of course, wanted Michael Bisping. The fans wanted Michael Bisping to headline this event. His swan song fight, it may have been. But we got the heavyweights instead. This is a fascinating fight because Volkov really, you know, has kind of been very quiet in the UFC in his time here. And I think, you know, victories over, I think there are notable victories there. And Roy Nelson, Stefan Struve, are great notches on his belt. Timothy Johnson victory. But he hasn't really fought the very top level guys yet. This is his first major step up to the top level UFC guys, and I think it may be a step too far against Fabricio Werdum, you know, if he's hungry enough to get back in the title picture.
Yeah, Werdum has any desire to get the fight to the floor, he could finish this pretty much whenever he wants. The only question is whether he is actually going to want to do that in the same way that he, I think it was Walt Harris's most recent submission. On the other hand, he has seemed to fall in love with his striking quite a bit. Yeah. Although, unlike a guy, say, like a Damian Maia, who several years ago started his striking training and really sort of, you know, abandoned a lot of his jiu-jitsu for these sort of like cardio kickboxing 15-minute performances, Werdum's fundamentals are really great. He's got a really strong 1-2, throwing like straight punches down the middle. He's got good leg kicks, as trained by your mate Rafael Cordero, is you know, kind of really sharpened into the fact that he is a very effective Muay Thai striker. I mean, you saw in fights like, especially the first Travis Brown fight, and in that there Cain Velasquez fight where he took the title, he can do a lot of damage. But, and I think probably enough to keep Volkov backing up if it does turn into a striking exchange, to get inside his reach and like sort of negate that and get the better of it. But I mean, if you wanted a really easy route to victory, it would be a case of getting him down on the ground. And I do think he has the sort of takedown chops to get Volkov there. And if he does get on top, he's an enormous heavyweight, a real true heavyweight. And his top position grappling is, you know, it's out of this world. And he shouldn't have any problem at all submitting him if he can get him to the ground there.
I think he will, and I think he'll be a third round submission in this fight. I think it'll be exciting while it lasts. The odds are reflects again, rather like the co-main event, 7-4 Alexander Volkov for the victory, Fabricio Werdum 4-9. I'm going for that third round submission victory for Werdum at the O2 Arena on Saturday night. How are you seeing it, Michael?
Round submission victory for Werdum. I don't want to take everything the same as you guys.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure as always to have you on. What have we got coming up on the next cover of Fighters Only magazine?
Well, we've actually got a new brand new issue out this week. We've got the greatest MMA title fights, and we've got some brand new interviews with the guys that and girls that occupy those top spots, including, well, all your favourites basically from the last 25 years or so. Robbie Lawler, Mike Chandler, you've done some stuff with Anthony Pettis, Frankie Edgar, some classics from Japan with George Santiago, Eddie Alvarez, the list goes on. So as well as we've got a nice feature in there with Rampage Jackson, and I haven't got the issue right in front of me, so I couldn't reel everything off, but it's another good issue, and it's on shelves now.
Well, it sounds like a vintage issue for the MMA fans. I will see you there on Saturday night, Michael. We cannot wait for the fights. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks very much, Gareth.
You've been listening to the UFC Buzz podcast. I'm Gareth A. Davis. Enjoy the fights. We'll see you next time.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.